You're listening to episode 40 of the FitzPro podcast, and today's episode was brought up by my experience on September 14th and 15th in Victoria, BC, Canada at the Prehab 101 seminar with Dr. Jacob Harden. I will tag that in the show notes if you guys don't know who he is. Make sure you're following him on Instagram and all of his social media platforms. He's awesome. I really align with his philosophy around pain and how we work with clients and giving clients self-efficacy with their pain. So today's episode is all about pain. And this was actually a topic that I went over with my Built by Annie clients and my one-on-one clients in a monthly call for them to know what to do in the gym if they have pain, learn how to scale that pain from 1 to 10, and then based on that, you know, make decisions in their workouts without having a trainer or a coach with them or a practitioner with them in the gym. So if you have ever had pain, if you have pain right now, if you work with clients, if you are a client, today's episode is going to be for you. So without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. Like I said, today's episode addresses something that has likely happened to everyone listening. If you lift weights, you have definitely had this happen on some level. If you are working out and you experience pain, that's it. That's what today's episode is about. You're following a program as planned and you feel a pinch in your shoulder or a twinge in your back. So what do you do? Do you go home? Do you move on to the next exercise? Do you modify it somehow? Do you push through the pain? That, my friend, is what I am teaching you today. So this is not a gold standard. This is not a biblical approach, one size fits all system, but it is what I do with my clients. And it's in line with what I have learned from professionals whom I hold in a very high regard. So here I am sharing that information with you. It is a several step process. And step one is to gauge the pain on a scale of 1 to 10. So step one is the pain above or below a 5? I work with my clients on a scale from 1 to 10. It doesn't start at 0 because 0 is no pain. So 1 is barely any pain, and 5 is our kind of max tolerable. When we get above 5, it's painful enough that, you know, we want to do something different. We need to change something. So a 10 is the worst pain that you've ever had, that you can ever imagine. Think childbirth without medication, okay? Again, pain can be difficult because it's a perception. It's a sense. My 10 is going to feel different than someone else's 10. So that's why it can be a difficult thing to work with, especially when you are working remotely with clients or you're a client working with a remote coach. So if a client's pain is below a 5, meaning it is tolerable, I am totally fine with them working through that lift. And again, a client is going to know their body better than me. If the pain exceeds a 5, if it's above a 5, then they have some regression options. Okay, option 1 is to reduce the load. So this is if the pain is above a 5, then they reduce the load. That's step 1. Take weight off of the bar, get smaller dumbbells, whatever it is. The client reduces the load, then performs another set. Right? One of two things happens. Either the client's pain decreases or it doesn't. Based on that, they either complete the sets at that weight, if there is no pain, right? If the pain is below a 5 now, continue doing the sets at that lower weight. If the pain is above a 5, the pain did not go away, then I'll have them try something else. I will have them decrease the weight again and we'll find a tolerable load. But we also have to keep in mind that there was a goal of whatever sets and reps that they're doing, right? There's a goal of whatever exercise they're doing. If the goal was to work at an intensity of 85% effort on RDLs, heavily loading the hamstrings, but the client can only tolerate a load at 50% effort, then we enter waters where I alter tempo and maybe even exercise selection so that we can get the stimulus that we were going for in the first place, right? So we'll get into that as well. We altered load by decreasing it, okay? So pain is above a 5, we lower the load. Pain is below a 5, you push through the exercise, okay? But you keep note of your pain, obviously. So if it's above a 5, we lower the load, do the set again, still have pain, lower the load again, do the set again. You lowered the weight and the pain didn't change. So we've lowered it 2 or 3 times now. The pain has not changed. Now we move on to option 2. And option 2 is to decrease the range of motion. Can we do RDLs from a shorter range of motion with tolerable pain? Right? We do the RDLs from pins, or we just don't go down past the knees. We can do that? Yes? Great. Then work at that range of motion with a tolerable load. Record the pain level and the load, of course. I use True Coach. I will link that in the show notes so my clients can make notes of all of that for me directly in their program through the True Coach. If the pain does not decrease, the pain stays the same even with a decreased range of motion, then we change exercise selection, right? We cannot get the stimulus that we're wanting from this exercise and it's clearly causing pain. We need to choose a different exercise. That is on the client if they have a comprehensive understanding of what the given exercise was meant to do. I personally work with a lot of other professionals in the field, so they may be able to adjust this on their own. They're other coaches, maybe they are an athletic trainer, right? These are people that are inbuilt by Annie and my one-on-one coaching, and they oftentimes have the capability to do this. Obviously, they make note and ask me about it also in True Coach. If it is a one-on-one client, then we make that change together. Now, I also ask 4 determining questions of a client who does have pain. If you are taking notes, you'll want to write this down. Does the pain dissipate between sets, right? So you have pain during the RDLs, but then when you set the bar down, it dissipates. You can't feel it. You can bend and flex and move and you don't have the pain. Or you do and it stays the same, right? Make note of that. Does the pain dissipate between sets? Question number 2, does the pain get better with movement? Did you notice that the first set felt pretty janky? You felt the twinge, but then as you kept doing subsequent sets, it got better, okay? Or it got worse. Make that note. Does the pain get better with movement? Next, does the pain dissipate after the workout is complete? Right? So you had pain all through the workout, but then you get in your car, you drive home, and you have no pain. Or it's a lower level of pain. If so, when? When did the pain dissipate after the lift? If not, what is the pain score post-lift? So if you still had pain after the lift, say it was a 5 during the lift, did it increase to an 8 after the lift? Did it decrease to a 3 after the lift? We're just collecting data here, okay? So that third question was, does the pain dissipate after the workout is complete? And then if so, when did it dissipate? If it didn't dissipate, what was that score? And then the last question, is the pain present the next day? If so, at what level on a 1 to 10 scale? I don't have this in a flowchart yet for my clients, but I do plan to make one so that they kind of have a helpful visual in a Google Doc or something that they can just kind of pull up. And this gives the client a sense of ownership and kind of empowerment around their pain. The pain doesn't mean they have to stop at any sign of pain. And it also gives them some data like, oh, okay, well, I felt pain during my set, but it doesn't continue after my set, right? So that's that efficacy that we want our clients to have with pain, if that is within our scope of practice, of course. I am a fan of empowering the client, and I also lean more towards pain as a sense, as a perception. It does not mean that you need to stop all movement. If we can educate clients around their pain and help them feel safe, then they're a lot more likely to continue training and to enjoy it. That is not to say that we are negligent or ignore pain or belittle pain. Not at all, but let's not let it run our workouts or limit us in areas that it doesn't need to be. So you are not your injury, right? I hope we're all on the same page with that. While strength training is a stress and yes, can cause injury, it is also how you or your clients are going to rehab 100%. You will use some amount of load to rehab an injury or an irritation. That is a fact. Even if surgery is needed, you're going to enter back into some kind of resistance training post-op, right? In most cases, anyway. That's my point here. Kind of a tangent. I've had a lot of injuries from torn ligaments to disc bulges to an undiagnosed shoulder that I am actually currently still working with. I've had good experiences with chiros and PTs and terrible ones, as I'm sure most people can relate to that. And the great experiences that I had with PTs and chiros were the ones that involved me in the education process and empowering me as the patient. I am not a doctor or a physical therapist or a chiro, okay? I am just a strength coach who believes that load and capacity are highly valuable tools in rehab and prevention of re-injury. When programmed properly, they build resilient, anti-fragile humans, and that is what I am here for. So that's what I want to expand on. Are those options and steps for clients when they feel pain during a session? Pain above or below a 5? Above, decrease the load. Below, continue but monitor. Decrease the load. Pain above or below a 5? Above, decrease the range of motion. Below, continue but monitor at that lower load. You decrease the range of motion. Pain above or below a 5? Above, move on. Contact me, as in move on past that exercise, continue with your lift and things that do not cause pain. Contact me, I will make adjustments to the program, right? Obviously, that's because I am a one-on-one coach. If it's below a 5, continue but monitor that pain. With all of that, answer the 4 questions. Is there pain between the sets? Is there pain after the workout? Is there pain the next day? And at what level does the pain get worse or better with movement? Now we move into altering exercise selection. So if you or your client have decreased the load and range of motion and the pain is still above a 5, then we switch up the exercise. Remember I mentioned that earlier. So you decrease the load, still have pain, decrease the range of motion if you can, still have pain. Okay, let's scratch that, move on to an exercise that does not cause pain but gives us the same stimulus that we were wanting. So what do we base this off of? Simple. There are actually 2 things, I guess, that we need to pay attention to here. One is, what was the point of the other exercise, right? What muscles were we loading and in what plane and for what intensity? For the RDL scenario, so we're doing a Romanian deadlift. That is a sagittal plane, largely eccentric hamstring exercise, in this case, at a high intensity of 85% effort. Great. Perhaps reverse hypers don't cause pain. Perhaps a glute ham focused back extension doesn't cause pain. Both can give you the same training stimulus. If you just want to completely destroy the hamstrings with no hinge, eccentric curls or Nordic curls would 150% do the trick. You just don't get the same degree of lengthening with the hamstrings, right? In an RDL, we have that really big eccentric stretch of the hamstrings. You don't necessarily get that stretch with the Nordic curls, but you will absolutely destroy them because there is no hinge at the hip. That's why that happens. Now, the second thing we need to consider is, where was the pain, right? So why do we need to know this? In my scenario, it's the lower back. That data gives us direction as to what area needs to be assessed and to take a deeper look at. This is where I assess one-on-one clients, okay? Are they extension sensitive? Are they flexion sensitive? Is their core strength lacking? There are a number of things to consider and look at here. Obviously, that needs to be within your scope, but I advise just working around pain without sending your human to a doctor or assessing them again within your scope of practice. Recently, I had an old one-on-one client actually who started Built by Annie to re-enter into training after she had taken some time off. And now she's a healthcare practitioner, has orthopedic surgeons in her family. She's a very smart person, very educated person. She knows the human body very well. She knows her own body very well. She was having some back and adductor pain and some hip flexor pain. I had her try a few things and sent her some assessments. Again, she was inbuilt by Annie, but she was a past one-on-one client of mine. Her pain was not getting any better. And she'd been experiencing this pain for 6 months. She got MRI results back, and she has, I don't want to completely give away her entire medical record, but basically she has some herniation in her discs and muscular atrophy in the muscles that attach to her spine in that area. And hi, that's beyond me. Right? That is above my pay grade. So I canceled her subscription and sent her to the Active Life RX directly. She is not her injury though, right? She may not even need surgery. In fact, I do believe she has opted not to get surgery, which is amazing. But that was not my call to make, right? That was out of my scope. I tell that story just to make clear that we are not playing doctor as trainers, right? This whole podcast episode was about pain and how to work with pain with our clients and give our clients self-efficacy. But with that, it is really important to, you know, talk about the fact that while there is a lot of overlap between chiropractic and physical therapy and strength coaches, it is important for us to know where the borders of our lane are at. That is it. That's all I have for you. If you're a trainer or a trainee, hopefully you have some solid parameters now to go off of when you feel pain or your clients feel pain, how to better direct them. Again, hi, Annie Miller, CSCS here, not a doctor. This podcast does not constitute medical advice on any level. It does not replace medical advice. Okay, want to make that so clear. With that, I hope that you did find value here today, that you took notes or that you are going to go back and take notes and kind of look at that flow chart that I was talking about. Hopefully you can make sense of that just with my words. So again, I went over this with my Built by Annie and one-on-one clients in a monthly coaching call because, like I said, I want people to feel informed and empowered around their pain rather than totally neglecting it or being super afraid of it. Knowing that pain is a sense, that you can have the sense, and that you have power to move in different directions if you do experience pain during lifting. If you did find value here or find value here on the FitsPro podcast, please give the show 5 stars and leave a written review. Again, I will be giving away something for free when I reach 100 reviews. That's a big goal of mine. Only you guys can make that happen. So the more authentic your reviews, the better. And until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.